Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is powerful, so are our words powerful, Lord. They are spirit and they are life, Jesus. And we take your word as our very life. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. We ask you to teach us as we open up and as we share, to give us revelation and understanding. Father, let this word go deep and let it change our life. Father, if we don't read and practice and believe what we hear, then you said we're like that one that looks in a mirror and walks away and forgets what kind of man or woman they really are. But we don't want to forget what kind of woman and a man you've called us to be. We want our righteousness and our fruit to remain. So help us today, Holy Spirit. We need your help. We need your anointing, your help today. In Jesus' name. The Lord, this morning, the Lord kind of gave me something fresh as he was ministering to me. So I want to definitely minister that to you. But we are still speaking about there remains a rest. There remains a rest. God has given a rest to his people. I'm not going to do a whole lot of review this morning. A lot of things are going to be repeated anyway. Okay, we know that's how that goes whenever you're teaching. A lot of things get repeated, but I'm not going to do review. Okay, so here we go. Okay, there are two kingdoms at operation in the earth, right?
Right.
And what are they? Who knows what those kingdoms are? What two kingdoms are operating in the earth? You belong to one or the other.
Satan.
Yeah, the kingdom of darkness.
The kingdom of light.
Okay, okay. And the kingdom of light, we know that. And also the part of that kingdom of darkness is what we call the earth cursed system. Because it was never in God's intent that Adam disobey him, right?
Right.
Okay. I always share with people, just because God is omniscient, all-knowing and knows everything, doesn't mean he's all-approving. Mm-hmm. He knows that's going to happen, but it doesn't mean he approved of it because he knew about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I got some teaching from a gentleman named Gary Cassie, yes. And so you're welcome to listen to that. Of course you are. I'm telling you about it on the rest of God. And so as I've been studying this out for myself, the Lord's been adding more to it and giving me my portion to minister to you. Those of you who are writing down who want to know the spelling of his name, his first name is Gary, G-A-R-Y, his last name, Cassie. K-E-E-S-E. Okay. So, that's very informative, very good teaching. So that's what we're kind of looking at. We're kind of springboarding off of it and seeing where the Lord will take us, right? So there's the earth curse system, and we know that from Genesis, when the earth was cursed. Now, God did not curse the earth. Adam cursed the earth through his disobedience to God. And God said, now the ground is cursed, the earth is cursed because of your disobedience, because you listened to the woman, your wife, instead of listening to me. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with listening to your wife or husband's. You shouldn't listen to your wife, or wife, you shouldn't listen to your husband, yeah, vice versa. That just means if you take their word over what God said, then that's wrong. You need to go with what God said. The word of God tells us, let every man be a liar and God be truth, right?
Yeah.
Right. You have to believe. If you believe the word of God and the testimony of men, if you believe the testimony of men, John says, and how much more should you believe the testimony of God? Yeah. There ought to be people in the earth we can trust in. There ought to be. As a believer, people ought to be able to trust your word. Your word is your bond. It's your character. It's who you are. If people can't trust what you say, what you tell them they're going to do, then there's no reliability in you. They can't depend on you. Right? Is that right?
Yes.
That's right. So if you believe the testimony of men, how much more should we believe the testimony of God? Right? Okay. So Adam disobeyed God, and he ate from the tree he was forbidden not to eat of. Everything was at his use. You know, there was only one thing. God said, don't eat from that tree. And so the earth curse system came in. The curse is that from now on, Adam, you'll get everything you get by the sweat of your brow. Mm-hmm. The earth is cursed. You're going to toil to try to make stuff grow. You know, you're going to have to work at it. Whereas it was before, he didn't have to even till the ground of the soil. It was just created. It produced after its own kind with ease. You know, my earthly father says that's the reason why we have to take vitamins, because the ground is cursed. things don't produce like they used to produce. That's why we have to take vitamins, we have to have supplements. We need to eat right. But even then, you need to supplement your body because not everything that comes out of the ground is necessarily good. I personally, you know, Dean had a real good garden this year. He planted the tomatoes, but didn't plant enough of them, so I didn't have enough to share. So hopefully next year we're going to use this little structure that we have, because it started coming to me that I really probably shouldn't be planting stuff directly into the ground at our house. I should build up a container. We already have one built up because I put fertilizer on my ground to get my grass to grow. I put weed killer on that same. So, you know, it just came to me as an idea. I mean, it's probably not really a good idea. I probably should be putting it in a container and grow. So those tomatoes really did good this year. So next year we hope to grow more so we have more to share, or maybe expand that area so we have more to share, because it's a good thing to be generous, right? But the earth is now cursed, and we have grown up under that earth curse system, which means the more you, to man's thought, the more I work, the harder I work or toil at something, the more successful I'm going to be. No. God's blessing makes you rich and adds no sorrow to it. It's God's blessing on what you do. It's not by your works. If it wasn't by your works that you got saved, then it's not by your works that you're blessed. It's by our obedience to God, doing things God's way, right? So there's the earth curse system, and there's the kingdom of righteousness. Oh, thank God for the kingdom of righteousness. You know what the kingdom of righteousness says? You know what God's way says? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what is God's righteousness? God's righteousness is found in one person, that is in Christ Jesus. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But righteousness even goes deeper and deeper than that. Righteousness in Christ Jesus is the way is being right. That's positional in Christ Jesus, being saved, born again. Being right, thinking right, speaking right, and doing right. So you just can't be born again. Mr. Loris and I had this conversation this morning that you know, she'd asked God concerning the hurricane, every tree in her yard to stand. And as a matter of fact, I proclaimed that over everyone in this room. I went around the table for that hurricane was coming, and I proclaimed that every tree in our yard will stand. It better have listened. Did every tree in your yard listen? Amen. It stood, okay. Mm-hmm. So you do that yourself. You do that yourself, but I did that for you because I love you, and I didn't want to. I did it here, and for as many names as I could call, you know. But there were some people that are believers that a tree fell in their yard, a big tree, okay? Yeah. So, you know, my conversation to Dolores this morning was, okay, you can still be a believer, but speak wrong. Right. You can still be a believer. That doesn't mean God has stopped loving you or you don't love the Lord, but you can speak, well, that hurricane's going to come through and I'm probably going to lose that tree. That tree's been dead for a while. I done told you, Leroy, to cut that tree down 5 years ago and it's still standing. It's probably going to fall. And you're going to learn, you're going to have to, you know, that is something I really don't like that I've gotten out of my vocabulary. I used to go along with it. I will confess that. Well, you get what you deserve. No. You better get that out of your vocabulary. Get that out of your vocabulary. No, because if it wasn't for God, we'd all get judgment. But thank God we got mercy. So, you know, that's just something personally for me. So no. Leroy's wife spoke over Leroy that tree was going to fall because Leroy had been supposed to cut that tree down 5 years ago and that tree fell. So I'm saying, and Leroy loves the Lord and Leroy's wife loves the Lord, but still they spoke with their mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Leroy just needed help.
Maybe he did. He needed some help. But you know what? I'm glad you said that because God still showed mercy and the tree didn't fall on them when they were in the house and take their life. So God still showed mercy because he's a merciful God. We've got to look for the mercy of God in everything, right? So you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Matthew chapter 6 verse 31 through 33. Even though we love the Lord, we can control, you know, James said that they put bits in a horse's mouth to make that horse go where he wants to go. If a man can tame his tongue, he is a perfect man.
Well,
perfect in all his ways if he can tame his tongue. Because what comes out of your mouth will affect every part of your life. That's why you will be a perfect man or woman. If you can get that tongue.
You think that's why James said be slow to speak?
Quick absolutely. Absolutely. Just like our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And that was an area of my life when I was in my 20s that I really had to work on. And when I read that about my Heavenly Father, I was like, Heavenly Father, I want to be like you. You said you're quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And God's Word will transform your life if you'll let it. Yes. If we'll let it, it will transform. So, seeking first the kingdom of God means learn what is righteous. Learn God's ways through His Word. Learn what is of God and know what is of God. And know what is of God, learn what is of God, and know what is not of God, and do what is of God, right? Because the kingdom of God supersedes the earth system. That means it's above. It goes beyond. Okay? You live in this earth, in this world, but you're not of this world. If you've been born again, you're of another kingdom. And God's kingdom goes above the laws. Okay? God's kingdom goes above the laws. Of the kingdom of the earth. It supersedes it. It's greater than. Anyone that wants to invent something or do something new, let's just look at like an airplane, for example. Okay, airplanes aren't really, that airplane that weighs that many tons, I don't know how many tons, but you know, an airplane's heavy, right? Okay, the law of gravity says that thing shouldn't fly. But something takes place inside of that engine. And I'm not mechanical, so I don't know what all that is. But whoever invented, started with the Wright brothers and came up with that idea, you know, and then you have somebody sitting on the side, well, if God meant for men to fly, he'd give them wings, you know, and they want to stick on that and never want to advance and go forward in life because really they're afraid to go forward. So they make an excuse for why they stay where they are because they're afraid to move forward and try something new, honestly. Okay, so someone, God gave the wisdom to somebody and the mechanics and the aerodynamics to supersede the law of gravity. An airplane supersedes the law of gravity. It does things it's not supposed to do. Is that right? That's right. So God's kingdom will supersede. God will put his supernatural upon our natural and we are obedient. God will put his supernatural down here upon our natural and he will cause it to go high places in his kingdom and do great things in his kingdom. He'll bless us. He'll put his supernatural when we walk in the kingdom of God, we're walking above the kingdom of this world. Do you understand that? We're walking above the kingdom of this world. Amen. We're walking above it. Okay.
Can I offer an idea?
Yes, you may.
The way an airplane works, the law that causes an airplane to fly supersedes the law of gravity.
Yes. Yes. It's exactly.
It overrides.
That's right. It overrides it.
The law overrides it.
It overrides it. Okay, so this brought me to another thought this morning. You know, we've been talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? That was supernatural. He transferred, right? We talked about that. We did that here as a body. Did everybody get in on that? That wanted to get in on that? Well, you brought your finances and we did a transfer from the king, from, we gave God our 5 fish and our 2 loaves. We'll do that again. If you didn't get a chance to do that, we'll do that again. Okay, I just, this morning I was just meditating on something, okay? I'm just gonna open up to you. I'm just gonna share this thought with you, which I believe the Lord gave it to me today. I'm gonna put it out there and we'll talk about it and just see what you think about this. But let's just talk it out for a moment. You know, when Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he transferred it from the kingdom of earth and the natural. That's what they had, right? He transferred it. And he transferred it to the kingdom of God because he put it in his hands and he lifted his eyes to his Father, right? Mm-hmm. And it said he gazed into heaven. Yeah. That means to look at something with wide open eyes, not just a casual glance, but with wide open eyes to look at something truly remarkable. I personally believe that when he gazed up into heaven, he saw what the Father was going to do. Because he said, I only do what I see my Father do. He saw what he was supposed to do. He saw the Father's plans for him to break it and to multiply it. That's just what I believe. So he gazed into heaven. He gave thanks to God. He blessed it, right? He asked God to bless it as he broke it. And the more he broke it, the more it multiplied. Is that right? Is that what happened? Yeah. Okay. So I started thinking this morning, I'm like, now, and I wrote down some notes so I'd remember, you know, how that, when you're in that moment, just some notes to follow. But this is in my heart, so I believe I can speak it clearly from my heart. So I was thinking, you know, Jesus, there was no painful toil and sweat when you did that. Right. He didn't have to work that up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's put on the right music here. Let's get the right mood. You know? No. So I said, Lord, that was easy for you. Why is it? So I asked these questions. I said, Lord, why is it sometimes we're asking you for things, but we'll have to wait for the manifestation? With the Lord Jesus, he just did it right there, and it just happened. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to wait.
Right.
You know, there's things, come on, you know, there's things in our life that we're seeking God, namely for a builder for this building, namely, and that was what was in my heart this morning, honestly. I was like, Lord, you know why? Or the salvation of our children or other things, you know, and, you know, we're doing everything the best that we know to do. You know, it's not a faith issue. We believe our faith is there with God. We're sowing and doing all the things God tells us to do. And I was like, why is that? And I believe that I heard inside of me, not an audible voice, but inside of me, I believe I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, there's some things that don't manifest in your life until some other people that are part of the plan line up with you.
Amen.
There are some other people that need to line, there's some other things that need to be in place that need to line up with your life, that need to come along. And I'm talking about all of us individually. I'm just talking about me.
Yeah.
That need to be a part, that are a part of the plan I have for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
And they're out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how does that apply to the Lord Jesus? I said, you know, I was sitting there meditating. I was like, well, no, because he didn't need anybody. Uh-uh. Holy Spirit, check me.
Yeah.
I said, Jesus didn't need anybody to do anything, Lord. Uh-uh. The Holy Spirit checked me. He said, what about the 12 disciples I gave him?
Mm-hmm.
What about the 12 disciples I gave him?
Amen.
Were those disciples there that day when he did that? Yes, they did. Did he look at one of them and say, did he look at all of them and say, you feed them? Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, even the Lord Jesus, even though the plan of God was complete in him, and the plan of God is complete in you, it's finished from the foundation of the world. God's already finished your life. He says in Psalms 149, the psalmist said, the days of my life are written in your book forever, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. You know my thoughts altogether. You know my path even before I take it, Lord. You know my lying down and my rising up. Is that right? You know everything about me. So I said, even though Holy Spirit was just teaching me here, and I was like, yes, even though the plan was complete in Christ, right? There's no other plan for salvation or redemption, right? The plan's complete in Christ. Everything God was going to do was in Christ, right?
Yes.
Yet still, God chose 12 men to come alongside of him to work with the plan. I said, well, thank you, Lord. I stand corrected.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit also spoke to me. Do you not remember? When there was a time when Jesus could not do many miracles because they did not believe. What does that mean? That is a faith issue, yes. They didn't believe, but they weren't willing to align themselves with Jesus. They weren't willing to come alongside of him. So what I'm trying to say, this is the answer to that question as I was meditating on this morning, is that there are people that need to be in place with our life before some things are going to move and manifest. So what should that lead me to pray? That should lead me to pray. You know, this is just a symbolic number. Jesus said 12. So I'm using 12 as a symbolic number. Lord, it might be more than 12. It might be less than 12. But Lord, who are the 12 that need to come alongside with me? Who are the 12? Doesn't mean I'm going to be the center of everything, but there's people that God is going to connect your lives with.
Yes.
See, that's why relationships are so important. That's why you better treat everybody the best you can treat them. And don't show anybody partiality above others. Now, I know there's just some people we like to hang around with more than others. I know that. And iron sharpens iron, and nobody wants to be around an old grouch or, you know, like that. I realize that. But I also know that we need to be careful how we treat other people in our life that God sends our path. But how do you know that that's the one that God wanted to connect you with that time in your life to fulfill a prayer you've been asking God for, and you rejected them, so they went on, and that just delays the fulfillment of what God wants to do in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but that blessed me this morning. So my prayer is, Lord, Father God, I know you have a plan for my life. Who are the people that need to come in your plan, God, that need to come join, that I need to join with in my life, and to fulfill this purpose? And if they're out of place and not in alignment, and if I'm out of, whose prayers am I hindering? Whose prayer am I hindering because I'm not in alignment where I need to be? In every area of my, and theirs too. If they're a part of God's plan for my life, and I'm going to get you, Carolyn, but before I do that, let me read the definition of alignment. Does that help anybody this morning?
Yes.
And think about this too. Now, this is just a mystery. And he chose 12 to come alongside of Jesus, and even one of those was a traitor. Okay, definition of the word align. And I'm going to get to you, Carolyn, I promise, okay? I got this from the dictionary. It means to bring into line, to arrange or adjust in a straight line. To join with others for or against a cause. That's the word I heard this morning, was alignment. To form a line, to fall in line. So how is it in my life I need to fall in line with God's plan? How is it that the people that are part of God's plan that affects me or that affects you need to fall in line with God's plan? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Alignment. So I looked up the word alignment. It's an arrangement in a straight line, formation in a line, or a pattern of lines. So here's your life going in a pattern of lines, and here's my life going in a pattern of lines, or going in a line, I should say. And here's your life going in a line, and your life going in a line, and God wants to make a formation, and he wants to cause this line, and this line, and this line all to go together in the same way to for a common purpose, to fulfill his plan and fulfill his will, right? Because your life's not going to necessarily, everything about your life is not going to follow the pattern of my life, nor mine the pattern of your life, right? But yet at the same time, that's what it means to belong to the body of Christ. It means we're all lined up in a straight line following one purpose and one goal, and that is that we might obtain Christ, that we might know him, right? The passion for Christ. Amen. And then we're all going in the same direction, and along that way, God says, okay, this is a plan I have for you to fulfill my purpose. And whether you want to call it a purpose or whether you want to call it a plan, whether you want to call it destiny, but the end result is that we all are conformed to the image of Christ. And there's a plan that God has for all of our lives individually and as a body to get us there. But it means adjoining a person's a group or groups having similar interests, ideals, etc. for a common purpose. Amen.
That sounds like a formation.
It is a formation.
It sounds like the military.
What about that?
You know, marching and you can for tell common when goal. Somebody gets off step.
Out of step.
It messes up everything.
Out of step.
You know, that's, and we are soldiers in God's army.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we are in formation. And we're all headed, or should be headed in the same direction.
Yes.
And we should all be in step.
That's
that
right.
That doesn't mean that we all know the same thing at the same time.
Right.
But
there
we're all striving in that formation.
That's right.
In step to go toward that goal. And then when one of us or some of us get out of, we affect
That's
the
right.
whole body.
That's right.
I.e. formation or Amen. The whole thing. And think about it. You know, sometimes we might be the weak chain.
Weak link
in the chain.
But people can be out of place. They can be where they're not meant to be out of place. And it affects the whole. So, you know, that was a cry of my heart this morning. That's why really some things, I know we look for answers, why God this hasn't happened or that hasn't happened, but there are some things that have to be in place for some things to happen.
Yes.
They have to be in place. So we can pray, Lord, if I'm out of place, place me where I need to be. If others are out of place, you know, concerning this, then place them where just the body of Christ, place us where we need to be. Who are those that need to come along? Who are those that are part of that formation concerning my life? If we're warm, we can open any of these windows. Carolyn, you had a...
When you were talking about being out of place and in the line, what I heard was, what about our thinking? Because God said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you.
Yeah.
Thinking, you could be thinking the wrong thoughts. So instead of lining it up with God, you're over in left field and grumbling and griping about something that...
That's right. That can cause things to be delayed, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It did for the Israelites, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And their example, we're supposed to follow.
So that we have to think. Now, God knows our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know that, you know what? Casting down everything, every high imagination that exalted against the knowledge of God. So we need to bring those thoughts into captivity.
Because we need one another. We need one another. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Robert. But I'm going to get to you so I can hear what you're saying, but I've got to get some air, too. She's making me hot just looking at her.
I apologize.
No, it's okay. It's not your fault. See, that's an example of what Carolyn said. It's the power of thought.
I don't want to sound so short and everything by saying it, but, you know, he says it in Matthew and I think it's two verses where he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, if you're speaking of love, you know, love in that sense is not just emotion. It is a commitment.
Commitment, yes,
it's
sir.
It's a commitment to God to love others as you love yourself.
That's right.
And of course, you can say all the different things. You don't want to go hungry. You don't want to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want nobody to cheat you. You know, all those things you do to your neighbor because that's commitment. I don't care. You know, and people get it wrong sometimes. It's not just for Christians. It's for non-believers, too. That's why you're supposed to, if somebody treats you mean, you're not supposed to treat them back mean. You're supposed to treat them with love like God treated you, you know, before you were saved.
Yeah.
So I think that's where people get mixed up because they think of you know, on those two commandments, if you go by those two commandments, you're not going to have any, you're going to have problems, but you're not going to have any problems doing what God tells you to do, you know. And that's where people get wrong. They think love is, you know, is just an emotion. It's not.
No.
It's not just an emotion.
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment. And if you go by those two commandments that God gives you, you fulfill what He, if you do it. Now, you're not going to do it because you go fall short sometimes because He tells you in the Bible you're going to fall short. But the thing about it is, when you do, then you correct it.
That's right. That's right. Your heart is in the right place. You want to do right. Tammy, open that window back there, please, unless you're cold.
That's why he said ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
You know.
Are you cold, Tammy?
I'm not right now.
Okay, but you would be if you opened that. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly, yes.
Don't leave it shut. Now open this one.
Mama might be cold. Don't let Mama cold.
She'll let me know. She's on a sweater. I'm going to get it this way. But I will. I mean, it's nice outside. This feels comfortable with the window crack. But Tammy, help remind me, please, y'all. Remind me to shut these windows. Amen. So we need one another. See, we need one another. We do. We have one another to work together to fulfill. When someone's out of place, it affects God's plan. If they're a part of God's plan for your life, it does. That's why, you know, we should pray and really mean it. Lord, show me your will for my life and let me follow that, right? I mean, there's some places in the natural I didn't think I'd have to go this year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in my intent to make some moves that I had to make move this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in God's intent, and I can see the purpose and the reward in it for having a good attitude in it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can. God rewards when we go the path He tells us to go. God rewards, okay? Okay. Genesis 2:2, getting back on topic about rest. I just thought I would share that with you because that is a part of rest. There was no painful toil in Jesus multiplying those five loaves of bread and two fish. He was under no stress to do that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And that just caused me to wonder, Lord, why is it? And it happened immediately. And that just caused me to ask that question. Why are some things just don't happen immediately? And I know there can be a lot of reasons why that is, you know. But when you believe that your heart is right with God and you're crying out to God to stay right with Him, then you ask these real questions. I thank God that He gives real answers. I thank God He gives real answers anyway. Okay, Genesis 2:2, by the seventh day, God had rested. God made man on the sixth day, right? But He finished all His work, and God made man to live in the seventh day. Okay? God made man, and then He made the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was for man. Man is meant to live in the seventh day, or meant to live in God's rest. Okay? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. But we're not going to go through all that we went through last week. But there's some very good things here. We're going to start with verse, I believe we're going to start with verse 10. Let's start with verse 9. Okay. God made the Sabbath for man, just as Carmen mentioned to us last week, so man would have an escape. So he wouldn't keep on working and working and working and working, but he would take a time to stop and reflect. Amen. You know that passage that says, that I think it's in Hebrews also, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not 100% sure of that, so someone can help me with that reference if they can find it, where it says that no temptation is common with man. No temptation that man goes through, you know, that God, Christ Himself was tempted in all manners like that, but without sin. But you know the part that I hear that part a lot, but I don't hear people go on to say the rest of that. But in that, God will make an escape. So it's just not, okay, there's no temptation that I'm going through that Christ Himself hasn't suffered. I'm not belittling that. Thank God. But He did went through it so He could show us the evacuation route. Right? So He could show us the escape, the way out. Mm-hmm. There's an escape and a way out of every temptation, trouble, or trial. There's a way out. There's an escape. Okay. So God made the seventh day for man to have an escape from work, for rest. God said it is finished. It is completed. God ceased from all His work and did what? He rested. And He looked back on His work and He said it was good. Now, Adam lost the Sabbath. Adam lost that rest when he disobeyed God. We hear that in Hebrews 4. He talks about faith rest, that we must labor to enter into this faith rest of God, to trust God, this trust that is in God, this rest that is in God. That's why some people give up, you know, right before the promise is going to be fulfilled. And they're going to see the manifestation. They give up. It's like my dad says, he has this quote. He says that some people say, well, I tried that faith. I tried it. I tried that tithing. I tried that giving, tried that faith, but it don't work. And my dad says, no, it tried you and you gave up. The word of God will test you. The word of God will test you and try you to prove. Wasn't Jesus tested and tried? Yeah. And even the enemy used the word, didn't he? Use the word. But Jesus, but it is written. But it is written.
And you've got to say that.
Amen. It is written. Say what God says, right?
Say what God says.
Say what God says.
Out of the mouth of God. You say everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
That's right. That's right. Every
word.
That's right. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Because when you do that, you're agreeing with God. No, this is what God said. And I agree with God.
Can I say
yes, ma'am, please do.
Lord, give us that power within us that if you don't know you have that power within you, you cannot make it. Because in it was Ephesians when he said he give you the power to command anything in his name. In the name of Jesus, he said you can bruise the serpent's head by telling, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stand still. Let I step on you. And I myself shocked when it happened. Because the day when I said, Lord, why can't I even have any help? Why? And I have done everything good. And in 5 minutes, somebody called me, you need help. I was shocked. Because I said, said it out of anger because I was in pain and still picking up the trash. And I just hold it up. I said, Lord, why can't I have any help? And I don't do any bad that I know of. I do all good. In 5 minutes' time, somebody called me. You need help?
Amen. See, now that person was obedient. They aligned themselves. They put themselves. But see, they could have heard that and still not acted. Well, somebody else will come and help them. Somebody else will do it. No, God's asking you to do it.
And that many times we hear the Spirit, but we do not obey.
And see, when we obey, that increases somebody else's faith and help them in their walk with God, which in turn will help us in our walk with God, because our life is not just about ourselves. We need one another. Our life is about each other. It's about relationships. Yes. It's about building relationships and needing one another to. Yes. We can't do it without one another. We're just no one in this room can reach their personal goal, desires in life without somebody else to help you. You just can't do it. You cannot do it. You can't do it.
We have the power in us. God, the Lord. I don't remember the scripture right now, but he said, when the Lord call you, it is in the Corinthians, the Holy Spirit, take the Spirit and seal it in your heart.
Yeah.
So you have to activate that spirit, that seal in your heart.
Amen.
Like you need it, you say, Lord, I need it, and I need it now.
Mm-hmm.
And you get it now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, Lord, I need it, and I need it now, and I don't believe I can get it now, you're not going to get it.
So when you cried out to God like that, you believed he would answer your cry and send you help, and he did. I got you. Okay. Rob, I saw you had your hand raised. Just briefly, so we can...
You were talking about before, it's in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken me, but such is common to man. For God is faithful and just to allow me not to be tempted above which I am able.
Right. And with that, he'll make an escape and a way out. Amen. And that escaping the word out, the way out, the logos, you know, we have the logos and we have the rhema. The rhema is the spoken word, the revelation. The logos is the written word, okay? So the written word, he says he will make an escape. He will make a way out, and that's by speaking the word, okay?
Yes.
That's by speaking the word. That's the escape, the way out, when we speak the word of God, like the temptation comes. No. No, I'm not going to yield to that. I have the mind of Christ. No, I'm not going to think those thoughts. So I'm not going to do it. That's against God. You know, so that's a written word. But the rhema word also, that God can give you in a situation like that is that, Lord, you've made an escape and a way out, is that God can give you a plan to really just, he can show you a plan to just really escape and just move right out of that situation. You understand what I'm saying?
And trusting in God, too, because the part where he says, he will not allow you to be tempted above which you are able. In other words, you're believing in him, and he's giving you a concrete yes that you're not going to be tempted as long as you stand with him.
Mm-hmm. You won't give in to it. You might still be tempted, but you won't be. You'll stand up against it. Just like he did.
I was going to elaborate what Mr. Lawrence said about the word. I was sharing with Tammy and Shirley in 2 Corinthians. And it's the first chapter. The 21st and 22nd verse, and I put me in there, and this is how I wrote it. It says, now he which established, and says us, but I say me, with you in Christ, and had anointed us, which is me, is God, who had also sealed us or me, and given the earnest of the Spirit in us, in our hearts. God is saying, you know, I've already done this.
Already established you.
It's established.
Sealed you.
Now you got to stand on it.
Yes.
Believe it. And do it. Because James tells us, be not just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word also.
Yeah, but see, he's established and sealed us.
Sealed us. Yes.
Us.
Us. We sealed.
Amen.
With
That's right.
The Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. Greater is he in us than he is in the world.
Yes.
my retainer of the mind of God.
Second Corinthians.
So when you have the mind of God, things do happen in our life. I get up last night and it was like 3 o'clock and I said 3 o'clock and I can't sleep. So I take the Bible and it was Isaiah 55 when I opened it. And one verse hit me there. He said, as the rain cometh down and the snow fall from heaven and runneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We has to have not good. I don't know. Sometimes things come that hurt you. But if you have the set mind of God, you see more things. Things that you can tell somebody that they said, how you do that or how you see that. But you have to have a set mind. He said, let your heart be centered and still on me. If you're sleeping, he has to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your sleep. And you get up and you act on it. Sometimes I'm lazy. I'm really lazy sometimes.
Well, that's gonna change. Amen. He's changing that in you. Amen.
We have to have the mind of God.
Amen.
And pray for it.
Seek it through His Word. Seek it through His Word. We can seek it through His Word. That's what. That's how we develop the mind of God. But the mind of God is His thoughts, right? It's what pleases Him. So that's how we develop it, by being in His Word.
Yeah.
And you know, by being in His Word, and just we're in His Word, and we see that promise, or we see what pleases Him. Lord, I want to do that. I want to do that because that pleases You. I want to conform. I want to conform my life to fit Your Word.
Right.
I want to make my life to fit Your Word. I want to take Your Word and make it change me by putting it to practice in my life, by activating. Well, let's keep on going, y'all. Okay. Adam lost the Sabbath rest, right? Christ bought it back, I should say. He brought it back, but He bought it back too. He paid a price to bring it back. Okay. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 9, and we'll share that with you. And then as time permits, we're going to look at the Sabbath a little bit. We're going to talk about the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? Okay, we're going to look at that in depth. Let's look at starting at verse 9. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. It's still there. But do you agree that all believers haven't come into this complete rest? We have become positionally in Christ because Christ is our rest, but maybe it's that we haven't activated it, like we talked about earlier. Maybe we haven't aligned ourselves with the rest of God in us. Maybe we don't know how to get it. Maybe we don't know what it is, how to obtain it. But we're gonna look at that, okay? So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. So I gotta stop right here. Okay. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is it. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay. This yoke, to yoke yourself to something, to yoke yourself, it's the picture, because not Greek, but the Hebrew is a picture language. But it's a picture of two ox yoked together to get a job done. Okay? They're yoked together and they're walking together. So we picture ourselves, okay, Jesus, I'm taking your yoke. Remember it said that the increase of His kingdom, there shall be no end. The government shall be upon His shoulders. And of the increase of His kingdom, there shall be no end. Well, the government is upon His shoulders. That means the burden or the responsibility is upon His shoulders. Okay. What you do is you yoke yourself to His plan. He's carrying the burden. It's upon His shoulder. He's carrying the burden, but you yoke yourself to Him. And how do we yoke ourselves to Him? We yoke ourselves to Him, He says, by coming unto me and learning from me.
Yes, yes.
So when we learn from His Word, we are yoking ourselves to Him. The more we are in His Word, the more we enjoy the rest and the peace of God. When we're out of His Word, it's going to be our soul, because your soul has to, your spirit's born again, but your soul has not been saved. You know that?
Right.
Your soul has not been redeemed. okay? We've got the seal of the earnest portion. We know what's going to happen. We got a good down payment, the Holy Spirit, okay? Yes. So we know what's going to happen. So we've been given the Holy Spirit to keep our mind, to keep our emotion, to keep our life, our soul in check. And we do that through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. So I just had to interject that right there. That's how we find the rest of God. The rest of God is in us. It's by yoking ourselves to Jesus. And by yoking ourselves to His Word. Okay? And then things don't steal your peace. I make no apologies for that. Things don't steal your peace when you're yoked to Jesus. When you're yoked to Him. Nothing ever stole Jesus' peace, and I'm yoked to Him. Nothing ever stole His peace.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, He commanded peace. He commanded peace in situations, right? He did. Okay. So, you know, as a matter of fact, just as a side note, and then we'll move on. Jesus said, he told His disciples, and this applies to us, if you enter a house, He said, I send you out two by two. And if you enter a house and you say, peace be into this house, and this house receives this peace, then they're blessed. And the peace that's in you, that's the God in you, remains in this house. But if you walk into a place and they do not receive that peace returns back to you. You leave that place and you dust the very dust off the bottom of your shoes, and it'll be better for that place. It'll be worse off from that. It was better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it'll be for that place. You understand that?
Yes.
So nobody can steal your peace?
No.
Amen.
Actually, you can give it.
You can give it away.
You can give it. You can enter a house and place, so you can enter your place of work and say, peace.
Amen.
I speak peace.
Amen.
And if they receive it, good.
Yes.
They have a decision to receive or not. They have a decision to align themselves, right? If they don't receive it, guess where the peace comes? It comes back to you. You're going to walk in peace. You're going to live in peace that day. Okay, let's keep on going. I wanted to put that note in there. Rest. You walk in the rest of Christ. It's not something we're waiting for to get into heaven to get, y'all. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works, just as God celebrates His finished works and rest in them. God celebrates His finished work and rest in them. Do you know that God celebrates you? We are God's finished work, and God celebrates us.
Yes.
God celebrates us. So then must we give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life. We have to give our all to experience it. You understand what I'm saying? We have to get, that's what our part is. We have to give our all. We have to put all of our passion, all of our drive toward taking His yoke upon us and learning from Him. So if we come across a situation in life we don't understand, Jesus, I come to you.
Yes.
Here's the burden. I come to you. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So I'm going to exchange this burden, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to yoke myself. I'm yoked to you and yoked to your word. So I am going to wait on you and for instructions from your word how this needs to be dealt with in this at this particular time in my life.
Yes.
Amen. Well, that's good preaching, Holy Ghost. That's good preaching, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That is not running off and doing our own thing, but waiting on Him in that situation. So then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. Do you see how important this faith rest is? Because if we don't have this rest, y'all, we're going to enter into doubt and unbelief. Because rest is the opposite of fear, and it will steal your faith, and it will cause you to doubt and lead you to unbelief. Rest is crucial. We have got to stay in the rest of God. We've got to stay in the rest of God. You've got to strive with every bit of your passion inside of you to stay in God's rest. Not to get in strife with anybody. Not to get in argument, strife with anybody. That's another thing that will steal our rest. Okay. For we have, now this is the part I really wanted to minister to you today. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy. When you speak it, when you read it, when you speak it, when you read it, when you walk away from the Word of God, you can be so tired sometimes and your flesh does not want to open the Word to read it. But I'm going to tell you, when you walk away, when I walk away from this place today, I am so energized. Every time I'm in where God's Word is being preached, I'm so energized. That sometimes I have to watch myself that I don't overdo it. You know how energy, the more active you are, the more active you are, the more energy you have. Okay? Well, the Word of God, the living Word of God, is full of energy like a two-mouthed sword. Mm. It will penetrate to the very core of our being, where the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow meet. It goes deep. Mm-hmm. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives in our heart. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret and nothing created is concealed. But everything is exposed and defenseless before His eyes, to whom we must render an account. Okay, I know, I saw this in a different way this morning. I know that means God can read my mind. He knows what I'm thinking. If I'm thinking bad things, He knows it. I know that. But have you ever read this in a positive way? Come on. God knows the deep and deep intimate desires of your thought life. God knows the deep, and God says, I won't conceal it from you. Oh Lord, I saw this in a different, I am so tired of looking at things from a negative point of view. Amen. Look at this. Y'all, I'm going to be honest with you. I always thought, okay, God's going to get you. He knows what you're thinking. I'm not saying that we don't need to watch what we're thinking. But look at this in a positive way. Just look at this. Look at this, that God knows every thought, the intimate desire of your heart. If you're seeking God and His kingdom, God put those thoughts in you.
Yes.
He put those visions and those dreams in you. He put them in you. Now look at it this way. The Word of God has so much energy. I'm going to read it like it says. I'm not adding to the Word. For we have the living Word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our soul and spirit, bone, and where the bone and marrow meet. It's full of energy. Okay, energy gets things done, right? That's right. It interprets. God's Word will interpret and reveal your true thoughts and secret motives of your heart. The positive, the good secret motives of my heart. Anybody ever misinterpreted your motives? Your motive was pure before God, but they misinterpreted.
Yes.
Well, God says, no, my Word of God has an energy and a power inside of you. It will, oh, Holy Spirit, it will interpret the desires you have in your heart. Let my Word help you interpret what those desires, let me give you the interpretation for what the desires of your heart are. Are you seeing this? Are you here? It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. God's Word has the power to interpret what my heart is feeling. The good things my heart is feeling. The good things. Y'all, I had to just woke up in the morning, I was in the Word, and just had a good feeling about something good. I just had a warm feeling, just something warm, just good, just came over me. And it played out that day. It played out that day. It was something good. You know, when Oral Roberts said something good is going to happen to you? He had tapped into something. Today, something good is going to happen to me. Today, something good is going to happen to me.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am, you may.
I know, well, those of y'all that know me for a while know I had two Chevy Astro vans. And I can remember the first van that I got, I had the white one first. But anyway, I just remember being on my knees thinking as I was on my knees that I wanted a van. I don't remember verbalizing. I just remember it was God had it in my spirit, so to speak.
Yes, He did. Your heart.
And
He
interpreted what was in my heart.
That's what I'm talking about.
And sometime thereafter, I can't remember how long or whatever, but I remember getting a van. So sometimes we need to be quiet. Because God knows our every thought, but remember, the enemy doesn't.
He can't read your mind.
He can't. So we could be quiet and we can just
meditate on those things
and let God interpret and let it come to pass. And that's even, like you said, that was the positive, but it's even in the negative when people
do you wrong or
that's right.
something like that. And everything in you, in the natural, mm-hmm. everything in you want to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't nothing godly about your response.
No.
But if you could just keep it.
With his word.
And let God, it, mm-hmm. you know, when he gave us the armor, one part he didn't give us. He didn't give us the vengeance. In the armor.
Wow.
He kept vengeance.
Wow.
For himself.
That's good, Shirley.
That's good, Shirley.
That is good.
Vengeance is mine. So
I didn't give that to you. What about that?
That's he good. Kept that.
That is good.
So and while I'm trying to think about it.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. Start praying in tongues. Devil don't like it. You don't have to be a Sunday to yes.
That's right.
Woo! All right. He got it. He got it.
Yes, he does. He will take care of it.
And he took
he will take care of it.
We ain't got that part of the arm.
He will take care of it.
So good, Shirley.
That's good.
That is good.
I heard it somewhere.
That's right.
I want to piggyback on what Shirley said about her vein and everything. God knows everything. Especially me, with me, okay? The house that I'm in, when the guy asked me what did I want, I said, I want to find a place to rent
mm-hmm.
so I can bring my children to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But God knew mm-hmm. that that was not my heart's desire.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. My heart's desire was to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not say anything to the guy about that. I just told him I needed a place to rent. He was taking me around to have a place to buy.
Oh my goodness.
So I thank God. I thank God.
We know we should be in the Word of God to help us, but isn't that a good reason? If God's Word can reveal even the most intimate, our intimate thoughts, isn't that a good reason to be in God's Word? That He can reveal. Well, let me read the rest of this. Let me give a really better, and let me give a better explanation here. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet.
Mm-hmm.
It interprets.
Yes.
The Word of God interprets. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't even have to even know what's going on the inside of you. Just get the Word of God in you. Get it in you. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our heart. Come on now. For there is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God.
Mm-hmm.
This is for good, it's not for evil. Look. For nothing that we do remains a secret. What God has put in you, your thoughts, those thoughts for good that God has put in you is not a secret. And nothing created is concealed. You were created by God. And when you were created by God, He put all of those intimate thoughts and desires inside of you when you were created. And God says, there's nothing, no thought of good that you have about me or that I have about you can be kept a secret. It'll be brought out into the open. God will reveal it. God will do it. All the good things that God has for you, He will do it. God's not hiding it or keeping it as a secret. He will reveal it and bring it out to open. He will cause your life just to open up right in front of everyone. Do you? Am I expressing to you what I'm feeling? Oh my! You said we've always thought, okay, God knows my secrets, all these secrets. No, look at it in a positive way. God knows I, you know, it's the secret. God's not hiding anything from you. He's keeping it for you. He's hiding it from the devil. Okay? And what's going to happen is the plan's just going to unfold right in front of the enemy's eyes. That's what it means. He's preparing a table for you right in the presence of your enemies. God's plan is just going to unfold right in front of the eyes of the enemy. And he's going to have to stand there and watch you eat from the table that God has prepared for you. Okay. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret. And nothing created is concealed. If God created you, there's nothing about your life that's going to stay concealed, y'all. It's going to be revealed. But everything is exposed and defenseless before His eyes, to whom we must render an account. Okay? I'm going to have to give an account to God for this life. that God has given me. Okay? And God's not just going to ask me to give an account for this life that he's given me without showing me what he's given me in this life to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? He will show you he would not be a just God, and he is a just God, if he would hold you accountable for something that you didn't do, if you didn't know what to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. What did I tell you last week? It literally interprets, I know how to make you know what I know. I know how to make you know what I know. I know how to make you know what I know. Y'all, things don't ever change, and I'm not keep on using myself as a personal example. I refuse to do that. But things do not change in our life unless we're in the Word of God. Things will not change. It is a power and a force that is work inside of us. It is a supernatural power that even when we read it, something supernatural is happening on the inside of us. When we read it and receive it, and when we speak it, even the more. Oh, my Lord. Okay, let's keep on going. What time is it? Okay, because you know what? This is supposed to be a 10-week study. I don't know how long it's going to go with us, but it's okay and it's all right. But what is the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath, yes, we know that's a rest, and then we know that was completed in Christ. I want to get into a few more things Old Testament-wise. I feel like I need to share this with you, and then we will stop here today. Let's look at this Sabbath a little bit more, okay? The Sabbath is a picture of what Adam lost. It's the rest. That's what Adam lost. He lost the rest. Everything had to be done by toil and sweat in his life, right? Okay. And we know that it's a day that causes man to stop, to evaluate, to rest. Look at Ecclesians. Look at Colossians 2. I'm confusing Ephesians with Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. And actually, I think I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation. I do like that in the Passions, but there's something that the New Living Translation says that I think we need to get.
So, Pastor, if Adam lost the rest, when, you know, he did what he did, then the natural capacity for us is not to rest.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
that's good.
Because we were born into
that.
That's
good. That's good.
So we
have to labor to enter into rest. Now I understand. Whoa. Oh, see, iron sharpens iron. See, now I understand the analogy. I always thought labor to enter into rest. Labor to enter into rest. Where with Adam, we're always.
We
say,
on Adam had the rest, but then he lost it. We are born under that.
Under that unrest. We're born in that unrest.
Under that toil. And
okay.
Women toil.
And we're always striving. We're always striving to get the wrong kind of rest.
Right. So it's not natural for us to just enter the Sabbath rest.
Except but through Christ. In the natural,
Christ, but we have to know
that's
how
right.
to enter it, which is why we're talking
exactly.
about this now. But the natural part of us is to labor.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
And then we think, the more, and even in the church, the more I do, the more I'm known by.
Yeah.
That's right.
The more I'm like Jesus. The more I'm like Jesus, right?
That way I don't have to. Yeah, but the more I labor, you know, because some people think I am what I do.
That's right. My identity
so
is what I do.
I'm important by all the titles and all the work. And, you know, and we just labor sometime in the church. I got to be on the choir. I got to speak. I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this.
Oh, my word.
And we're under that Adam thing because we are all, we're serving the Lord. We are working for the Lord.
But have no rest in our life.
How could it be any, we don't even know. The work was already done.
Oh,
it was finished from the foundation. But we don't know that because the natural capacity is to
work.
Labor.
And
so I get it done.
So I can get back into God's graces. So I can get back. We're already in God's graces. Yes. We're already in Christ Jesus. I'm already in God's favor. You heard that saying before?
Yes.
In a song, there's nothing that I can do that would make God love me more. And there's nothing that I have done that would cause him to love me less. You understand that?
Yes. Can I say one word? Adam lost the rest, but Jesus
brought back
the rest.
That's right.
Jesus brought back the rest that Adam lost because Adam disobeyed. That's why the Father has to ask the question, who will go and redeem Adam's fallen race?
That's right. We were born.
And the question was asked in heaven. And Jesus said, I will
That's
go.
That's right. It was in the Godhead's plan.
Yes.
That's right. It was in the
so
Godhead's
all
plan.
The things them that she they did to Jesus, it was Adam supposed to go through those things. But he lost it at the beginning, so it has to start. And if I say to Kathy one time, I said the first Adam came from a man. Mm-hmm. The second Adam came from a woman.
The last Adam.
The last Adam came from a woman. When the spirit go to Mary and said, you shall conceive a child, the angel, mm-hmm. he said, you shall conceive a child. And Mary said to him, how can I do that? And I know not a man. He said, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus was making the earth, he take a ribs out of Adam and he make Adam a woman. So you see where it is? The Father make out of a man a woman, and he make out of a woman a man.
We got you. No, the way I understand it, the Lord made Adam
God.
The man.
Yes.
And from Adam the man, he made the woman, because he took the and then when Mary gave birth to Jesus, that was a woman making a man.
Because
it's the opposite.
Because Adam has to come to replace the one that lose the first beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Father sent back the angel to Mary to bring the Adam that
will
take away the sins of this world.
To bring the message, but she was overshadowed by that was a good.
I tell men, the women made the man, so women are in control.
That's why.
Okay. Let's make.
That's why you can stand in the sin that gays and LBG is not right.
No, it's not right.
Because God made man, then he made woman.
Yes.
To have man and woman.
Help me.
There you go.
So you can defend LBG all that stuff all the time.
That's right.
A woman can't, 200 can't have a baby.
So we're gonna wrap this up with this final comment I'm gonna make, and then we're gonna get back on track. And all this is good. All this is good. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna wrap that up, and then we're gonna get back on track because we need to. But the thing is that the reason God chose a woman was that the enemy was to use the woman as an instrument.
Yes.
He used her as an instrument to disobey God.
Yes.
So that's why God said to her, said to Satan, that woman, soft spring, is going to bruise your head.
Yes.
It's going to bruise your head. So that's why God brought it back that way. Amen.
And that's why he used the Holy Spirit to bring it back.
And there's a lot of things. We could go a lot of different places with that, but let's touch on this briefly, and then I'm going to let you go, okay? Touch on this briefly. Let's talk about the Sabbath. Briefly, Colossians 2:16. We were supposed to go there, but we got off of there. Colossians 2:16. Okay, let's see here. I'm going to talk about the Sabbath a little bit. The Sabbath is a shadow. Okay, what does a shadow do?
It shows the image of
what's really there, right? The shadow's not the real thing, is it?
No.
But it shows a picture.
Yes.
And the shadow should also cause you to want to look for the real thing. If you see it as a child, and even as an adult sometimes, if you ever look and see, now what is causing that shadow? What is that the image of? It causes you to look for the real thing that's causing the shadow, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it does mean maybe there's still...
I have a question. Why do you call this Sabbath a shadow?
Okay, I'm going to show you. Colossians 2:16, okay? The shadow is an image or a picture of the real thing, right? Yeah. Everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. It's a picture of Christ. Just like a shadow is a picture of a real object, right? Well, let's look at this. Colossians 2:16. I'll give you a chance to get there. Okay. Now, Paul is talking about people that are trying. He's talking to believers. Don't let other people put you in bondage about what you eat, what you do or don't do. Right. Mm-hmm. He says, so this is the text of where, this is the context of where this is coming from. So verse 16, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or the new moon ceremonies or the Sabbath. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. Christ himself is the reality. He's talking about this. This is one of the many things he's talking about is the Sabbath day. That's one of the many things he's talking about here. And some of your other translations might even say Sabbath. Don't let men judge you concerning the Sabbath or certain days. That's what he means by certain days. You know, there are certain groups of people that, you know, I'm not going to go into their faith belief because really I don't know a lot about it. But I know that there are certain days they don't celebrate. They don't celebrate people's birthdays, yes. You know.
Yeah.
They get hung up on certain days. Some people get hung up on certain days. You got to worship God on a certain day. You can't do this on Sundays. You have to do this on Sundays. You can't do that. He said, don't let people judge you for what you eat or drink or celebrating certain things or not celebrating certain things. For these rules were only shadows. The rules of the Old Testament is what we're talking about. Were only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Christ is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And since we're talking about Sabbath and rest, that's why I want us to look at the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is a picture of or a shadow of who Christ is. Do you understand that? Who God is. The Sabbath is a picture or a shadow of who Christ is. So as Gary says in his teaching, when you look in the Old Testament, and it's a shadow, it's a picture of God, what is the shadow saying to us? What's the real thing the shadow's trying to say?
To be like God.
Okay. Yes. But it is pointing to Christ. But what's the message in it? What's the message for right? What attributes of God? What character of God? What is the Old Testament trying to tell us about God? And particularly, we're going to look at what is the Old Testament concerning the Sabbath, because God had lots of rules and regulations about the Sabbath. He didn't just have them so that now we follow the rules and regulations of the Sabbath. How do I know that's true? Because as I shared with you before, when Jesus came, there were over 6,000 man-made rules that had been added to please God. You know, we talked about that the Sabbath, that if you carried anything lighter than a feather in your pocket, you worked on the Sabbath and you broke the law of the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath was given, as we know, to the rest. The seventh day was given so man would rest. Adam lost that rest, and God restored it. What picture, I don't want to lose any of you, what picture is God showing us in the Old Testament about the Sabbath that reveals Christ? So the Sabbath is a shadow of the real thing that God is trying to show us. What is God trying to show us? He's trying to show us his character, his attributes, what pleases him, and he shows us that in the person of Jesus Christ. Is that clear? Really? Is it? Because some of you have a look on your face like I've totally lost you. The Sabbath speaks of something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ma'am?
The shadow, like you said, that it was like, let's say, the shadow of the Old Testament, the way they were seeing Jesus. But a shadow to me doesn't show the attributes, doesn't show the specific characteristics of your body or your, just a form.
An image.
An image. And it's dark. So I don't see the relationship that well.
Okay. So if a shadow is an image, cast an image of what's really there. Okay? It shows you that something is really there. Now look at what's really there.
Just, you see what's there. It's something in there. It's a shadow, but you don't see the specifics. You don't see.
But if there was no shadow, there would be nothing there. It's a shadow. It's a shadow of something real. So she's saying, look back to what's real. The shadow reminds you to look back to what's real. Don't look at the shadow. But the shadow wouldn't be there if there wasn't something real and holy. Okay? It wouldn't make a shadow at all. So we have to look back to what's real and holy. Don't look at the shadow. Look back to what's real and holy. Look back to
there
the...
There has to be something there to cast a shadow.
Right. There has to be something there.
There can't be no shadow without something.
Okay.
So it was like... So look at the shadow as being a picture. It's like a picture. Like if we were to stand out there in the sun, we have to have the sun to have a shadow, right?
Yes.
And there's an object. And where is it? The sun's behind you? Isn't that how it goes? Yes. The sun is behind you to cast a shadow?
Yeah.
So we look at Jesus as being the light of the world, that Jesus has seen all in the Old Testament. And as he is there, he is, his presence is there. And the...
Why don't we just see it? To me, the way now I'm starting to see when you say the light. Okay, shadow in the back in the Old Testament, the shadow was a shadow. A shadow doesn't have a lot of color and a lot of light. You don't see specifics. You don't see details. But let's say it the way I'm going to put it now that I think about it. Might have been it was shadow because it was not perfect. It didn't have all the little characteristics, the details, the only kind of a shape of something. But when Jesus Christ came, it was no longer a shadow. It was more like you see the light, you see everything like in all their characteristics, the shapes, the forms, the details and everything. So maybe if I see it that way, I can see it better. I don't think I'm going. That's me. Shadow is
preaching.
Well, if I see it that way, like you were saying the shadow. It's something there, but you cannot see the specific. There are so many things put in by man that it was not really real thing. It was just a shadow. Oh, you could not see everything detailed like Jesus was supposed to be. Once Jesus came, then we saw the light, the reality, the specific, the what was supposed to be the real thing on everything.
That was a good sermon, girl. That was it.
You answered your own question.
I'm very honest. Oh my Lord.
Now, let me tell you something. I saw that made it clear when you were speaking. When you said it wasn't perfect.
It was not. It was too many. No.
But when that which is perfect has come. Now you see dimly. It's what the Apostle Paul said. Now you see dimly. You don't see the whole picture. This is a scripture in the New Testament that I'm trying to quote. I'm not doing a real good job of it right now.
But said the Sabbath was the picture.
My God.
To me, I didn't get it because to me it was nothing. It was a shadow. It's a dark shadow.
I didn't see
any details, any specifics, anything. To me, it's dark and it's like...
It was imperfect. But that which was perfect has come, which is Christ Jesus. That's why God, the Apostle Paul, is telling them, don't let anybody judge you according to those things. They were just a picture, and an imperfect picture at that, of who God is. But nevertheless, they're a picture we need to look at.
Wow.
That's why Jesus said oh he my come goodness. To do away with the law if no. he come to fulfill it.
Yes, because he's the fulfillment of this. He is the fulfillment. They're complete in him. They're all because he is the one that was there that the Sabbath was casting a shadow on. That he is the one that was there, and he is the one that caused the shadow. The Sabbath was, he is the one that was there, and if it wasn't for his light or his presence, there wouldn't even been a Sabbath.
Yes.
In the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. But the Sabbath in the Old Testament was given to show us a picture and a type of Christ, of who Christ is. I think we ought to end it here today. I think we ought to, ma'am.
The 23rd Psalm that said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
It's just a shadow.
Yes.
Not death itself?
No.
Just a shadow.
Just a oh, my God.
Just the shadow of death.
Because he is there. He is the resurrection and the life.
Right. I'm just walking in through the shadow.
Oh, yeah. My. Lord, oh,
that'll preach.
Yeah. It's not real. No. The shadow's not real.
No, it's not.
Thou art with me. Yeah. That's what I quote to my son when he was dying.
To cast a shadow, mm-hmm. it has to be something, you know, your body and all of that.
Yeah, it has to be an object.
When Christ comes back, your body's going to be dead and turn back to earth. Your spirit and your soul is not something physical.
No.
Okay. So it's not something physical, your spirit and your soul. So it can't cast a shadow. Because your body's turned back to the earth.
Or if you go in the rapture and you're raised.
You go in the rapture, you're still, your soul.
You have to, body has to change.
Your body's going to be left here. It's your soul and your spirit that's going back.
Well, he says that you receive a glorified body, though. In the twinkle of an eye, your body will be changed. You'll be changed.
That's why you're in heaven. Your shadow's not, you can't cast a shadow if you don't have a body. Or some type of materialistic.
Right.
It's got to be something materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
So God is spirit and soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just body. He's spirit and soul. So your body, that's why he says your body will turn back to dust.
Well, if you die.
If you
but
die.
If you don't die, you go in the rapture, even though they're raised from the dead.
But you're going to have a glorified body, not going to be a solid.
It'll be different.
It's going to be different.
Yes.
It's not going to be solid.
Yeah.
It's going to be your soul.
Not the bodies we know.
You can't see your soul and spirit. Only God can see your soul and spirit.
Mm-hmm. But we will.
You can see your body. I can see her body, but I can't see inside of her soul.
No, but our body will be changed. We'll still have a body as we go through the air.
Yeah.
But it will be changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Well, even if you've dead, the dead in Christ shall rise. And then those which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the air.
But we don't know what that glorified body is going to look like.
No, we don't know. Well, we have a good idea, though, because Jesus had a glorified body. And he could walk right through. He wasn't subject to any law of the earth.
Right.
He could walk right through. He wasn't subject to gravity, to anything like that. And he walked right through the walls and appeared to his disciples.
Well, that's where he said, I didn't come to fulfill the law. I mean, I didn't come to do away with
the law. To abolish it. I fulfill it. I'm the fulfillment of it.
And the law of God, every law of God is going to stand.
Amen.
Okay,
so it'll be a couple of weeks.
Look up the word Sabbath. No.
So in a couple of weeks, we'll reconnect with this. Amen. Amen.